This podcast is certified fresh.
Freshmediaworks.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the DFW Area Small Business Spotlight Show. I'm Chris Daly, filling in for Terry Bennett. My guest today is Sudeep Adhikari with Stockyards Liquor and Wine. I will introduce you to him right after this.
Are you looking for a podcast network that talks Texas by Texans? Well, check us out. You're already listening to us, but go to the website, LoneStarPodcast.com. You can also find us on every big podcast platform, LSPN. We have shows in business, entertainment, marketing, music, of course, sports. We have some of the best sports podcasts in the state of Texas, ranging from high school football all the way up to pro basketball. So check us out online, LoneStarPodcast.com. That's the LSPN on every major podcast platform.
All right, everybody, join me in welcoming Sudeep Adhikari to the show. Sudeep, how are you doing today?
Hi, pretty good. Good morning.
Gosh, so today we're going to focus on your business, Stockyards Liquor and Wine. But before we do that, I want to get some of your background. Tell me where you grew up, how you ended up in the DFW area.
I was born and raised in a small Himalayan kingdom of Bhutan. I would rather tell all to my other friends, it is a sandwich between India and China. Mm-hmm. If in case you do not know where Bhutan is, you might probably need a glass to look at in the map. it's a Himalayan country. That's where I was born, but because of the political, I would rather say ethnic cleansing that happened back in early 90s, we were the victims of ethnic cleansing and, so we were evicted from the country when I was about 10 years old. So we had to flee the country because of the persecution and had to be in a refugee camp in Nepal for about 20 years before I finally landed up here in DFW.
Okay, so from Nepal, you came straight to the DFW area?
Yes.
And how long have you been there?
I came to U.S. on September 21st of 2011.
Okay. So you've seen a lot of, I guess, political turmoil, but then you've also seen some turmoil in the United States.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so if you could, tell me what it was like coming from a Himalayan country to the USA.
Well, it's totally different. I mean, obviously, it's a different part of the world. Mm-hmm. But even climate-wise, there was some connection in between Nepal and Bhutan, though I was not able to do a lot. Like, I was just about 10 years old. And when I left the country in the middle of the night, but there were so many connections in between those two countries, culture-wise and even atmosphere-wise, you know, like geographical locations and many things. The greatest thing that I landed DFW at about midnight, and the next morning, I wake up the next morning to get the fresh air of the United States, the land of opportunity, that's what it's known for. Mm-hmm. But I was looking around, and then I was trying to see the mountain. As I was growing up in a mountain and live in Nepal, like in almost like a valley. And yep. I was walking. I mean, I looked all four directions, and I couldn't find a mountain. And then I feel like I left something behind. That's the first thing that I couldn't adjust. Or it took me some time to adjust. Was just, you know, being as a maybe came from a land of Mount Everest as well. I think that was my probably, you know, had my somewhere in my brain.
Huh. Yeah, and so you come to Texas, which there's the Davis Mountains, but they're pretty small out west. There's not much in the way of mountains. It's a pretty flat state.
Yeah. I mean, that was just my that something that I missed, you know, like the next morning. The first thing I noticed was that, I mean, there were so many things after, but the first thing that I missed the next morning was like, it's just something I could just be personal. But I know there are a lot of mountains in the United States that I've, then after I visited so many places and I've seen all those mountains. Mm-hmm. I felt that I was back in the base camp of Mount Everest when I climbed Pikes Peak in Colorado on my last vacation.
Nice.
And I drove all the way up and just for fun, and it reminded me of Nepal.
Yeah. But you don't need a Sherpa.
Oh, I don't. Yeah, you're right.
Nice. So Nepal is interesting. It's the only flag in the world that doesn't have a rectangle.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a weird shape, right? That we're unique. And another fact of Nepal is it was never colonized.
Oh.
You can barely find any countries in the world that never get colonized.
Right.
And Nepal is one of them.
Nice.
They fought with British people with their kukri. You know, that's what mm-hmm. is Gurkha. That's where the Gurkha came into, like, became very popular in the world. Even Gurkha army these days is very, very popular in the world.
Right. All right. So you get to the DFW area, and America is a land of business. How did you get involved in business?
Okay, this is interesting because I was never ever in the business field. I was I taught high school for so long. I taught high school for about 12 years when I was in Nepal. As soon as I finished my high school, I started teaching, and then when I got graduated, I started teaching in high school, and then I was also an administrator at one of the schools. That a couple other friends and we started as a private school. And then as soon as I got here, the first 6 months was totally kind of reckless. Like, I didn't know where to start with. I had so many options that I can do. I know I can do it. I had that confidence that I can do something here, but I just don't know which one to hold it, you know? Whenever you have too many handles to hold it, you will be confused to hold which one to hold or which one is the right one.
Right.
So then I used my language skills to make some income. So I started doing an intro. I got a training through one of the organizations. It's called Translation and Interpretation Network, and then they mm-hmm. train for professional interpreters. So we have a bigger population here that they were here, and I started using my language skills to make some money.
Nice.
And then in course of time, I started building up a relationship with so many other, and then I started looking over, businesses and all. I came to know that there are so many other Nepali people that had been living here in DFW for a while, and they were all in business, in a gas station business or convenience store type business thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, I think that's probably will be the right option for me to go later, even though I do something else for my living now.
Right.
And then I was just like talking to some of my friends, and one of my friends said that there is a opening in a gas station that was just probably a mile away from where I used to live.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there. There was and then the owner was a Vietnamese lady. She was also an immigrant who came to U.S. when she was about 4 years old. That gave me a little more comfort to me. That a 4-year-old came to America and had been owning these several chain business. And I think she was also awarded with the Business Women of the Year or something back in 2000 or something. 2000, I think it is 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked her. She asked me about all of that. She was very polite, very talkative, and an impressive lady. And then she asked me about my background. I honestly told her I taught high school for 12 years. And she was like, what? And why are you here trying to work in a gas station? I was like, and then I said, I want to be the owner of the gas station one day or sooner or later. I won't be working for you for a long time.
Right.
I will probably be working just to learn how to do a business. And she was like, what? I never ever got any employees who came for an interview and said, I want to start up a business in 3 months and I'm here just to learn for 3 months. I never got that sort of like employee. And she was impressed with me because I honestly told her the truth. I don't know what other people used to tell or what they did. There might be some other, a lot of people that, you know, they come to a business field or maybe in a gas station business and then they learn and then they go up and open up a store, but they might not have told her that.
Right.
But I told that and she was impressed with me with just that first statement. And I worked with her for probably about 3 months, I think, but it was just a part-time, not a full-time, because I had another part-time job. Like, as I told you, like, I was using my, I was doing an interpreter's job.
Mm-hmm.
So then I worked, and then within that, she trained me all, and then she started saying, okay, now let's mop the floor. Because she was the owner of like 5 or 6 chain business, and she started mopping it, and then she told me like, you wanted to do your own business, like this is what a business owner needs to do, and then he started mopping up a floor and the toilet, you know.
Yeah.
That's how I learned. Okay, we need ethics to run a business, and then we need to do whatever it needs to run a business, you know, like mopping the floor to mopping the toilet, cleaning the toilet, and then restocking, ordering things, and then, you know, mentioning the inventory, and then the customer service, always, like, you know, the customer service is the key that makes a person successful. And that's where I learned all of those tricks and techniques. And then in about 6 months or so, three other friends and myself, in a partnership, we started a grocery store.
Uh-huh.
And I was and you know, the interesting thing was I was the export in between three other partners because they were never ever on that business, and I was the only one at least with 3 months experience, and I feel like I had about like 10 years of experience in business.
I love it. And so how did you transition from a grocery store to the Stockyards Liquor and Wine?
So we were doing that grocery business, and then we did for that about a little over a year. And we started making a profit, but then the profit gets distributed in like 4 partners. So my part was too small. And then we sit together and say, hey, you know, this is a small income generator business. And then maybe we were too many people here. So let's just either keep, you know, just be 2 of us. Just to run a business, either you can give me my portion of it, let's reevaluate the value of the business, and then I'm going to be happy to walk out. And if anybody wants to walk out, I think 2 people can run that business. So that's how I withdraw my share. We reevaluated the business. I withdraw the share. And then I also bought the house at the same time. And I also had a baby at the same time. So many coincidences in between. And then my wife used to be at that store, though we were we started business, but then I also had a job. By then I think I had a full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
And then my wife started that working there, but then soon after she had a baby, and also I purchased the house. So that's where, like, there's I think too many things going on at a time, so I took my portion of the share, and then bought house. And then after 6 months of buying house and moving here in my own house, I wanted to do something. So I was driving around, working around, and then I found that business almost, they were out of business.
Mm-hmm.
So I took up that business and started rebuilding it, and then now here I am.
And how long ago was that?
That was 2015.
Okay.
So it's been about 6 years running liquor store.
Okay, and tell me about how the company has done since that time. Obviously, it was out of business, so it's been much better now. But tell me about.
Well, I'm alive in that business, so it definitely done much better. It was almost, as I said, out of business. Maybe it was he did that intentionally, that he was, you know, mentally prepared, and he was having some family difficult times, so that might be the issue why he was just reducing the size of the business. Since then, I upgraded a lot and added a lot of inventories, and the sales picked up pretty quick.
Nice. And how does that differ from the other businesses you've been involved in? What's different about it?
Yeah, sometimes we compare that. Liquor business here in Texas is kind of like a official job. You know, you open at 10 o'clock, close at 9 o'clock. You have a set hours. You are closed on Friday. That way you give a lot of, you give extra time to families. You can get out there, go for picnic or, spend time with families. Right. And I'm also a social worker. I'm involved in so many other Nepali communities here in DFW. That also gives me a little more extra time to be still mingled with my community group, you know, help the needy ones that come across. It is really like a official job, you know, like a government office job.
I got it. I'll talk more about some of the other stuff you do after, but I want to still focus on the Stockyards Liquor and Wine. Talk about what makes you different than any other liquor store out there.
Again, the key feature is the customer service, that you speak with them, you smile with them, ask them how they're doing, just be more friendly. Now my wife started telling me that that's her second home. And at some point we were talking about, should we just go ahead and sell it? And then, because this has been engaging and taking some of our time, especially when the kids started school. And then my daughter is in sixth grade now, but we didn't choose her. The school that we get in our location, I transferred her school to a different location. Mm-hmm. So we need more time to drop it off, since we don't get a bus service for the transport students and Keller ISD, and then we got to pick her up. As she goes in higher grade, she has a lot of all these extra activities that she takes part in, and then we never know what time to pick her up. You know, like sometimes she had extra classes after school. So we were thinking about selling it, and then my wife said, I don't think I can get disconnected from my customers there, because I feel like they're all my family members. So I think, yeah, so I'm in a residential, I'm also right off the highway, and then also in a residential area, the backside of the downtown. So I got a lot of repeating customers. So they feel like they're just like, you know, friends we talk about sometimes when we have time. About families and, about vacations and things like that. So that makes it a little more friendly. And then I think that's the key features. Like, you know, if you focus on your customers, the customer's going to focus on you.
Right on. And for those people who aren't in your neighborhood but would like to come check it out, how do they find it? Where is the store?
I'm right off at the exit of Stockyards. Very close at the walking distance, probably away from Stockyards, which is a historical place here in Fort Worth, very old downtown. Mm-hmm. You get to, and then I also named as the Stockyards because when sometimes people wanted to pull out, like in a Google, find me a liquor store near Stockyards, and then the Stockyards Liquor and Wine will pop up on your Google.
I love that.
And then I also get tourist customers, now because of the pandemic, you know, we don't get a lot of foreigners here, but mm-hmm. I got to chit chat, I get a lot of tourist customers that come to see Stockyards. From other state travelers a lot, but then I'm talking about tourists, it's like from Europeans and from other places. Like I get all people from everywhere.
Excellent. So if you could, now let's talk about some of the other things you do. You mentioned your ties with the Nepalese community. Tell me about all the things you do there.
So the Nepalese community, we have a pretty big Nepali community here in DFW. We estimated about 50,000 plus Nepali community here in DFW.
Mm-hmm.
So we have two great big organizations. We have a Nepali Society of Texas, is a 501c3 organization. We also have a religious-based organization. We call it Nepalese Cultural and Spiritual Center.
Nice.
We have a temple right now in Irving. But the interesting thing about this Nepalese Cultural and Spiritual Center, in short, we call NCSC, we have about 8.5 acres of, we bought about 8.5 acres of land in Highway 10 in Euless, and we are building up about a temple, a Buddhist and both a Hindu temple in that location. We are right at the groundbreaking stage. At 95% of our permit has been approved from City of Euless. There's just like a couple more little bitty teeny tiny things mm-hmm. on pending. Maybe within next 3 to 6 months, we will probably start $5.5 million project there in Euless. And that will be a historical site in the City of Euless. And another thing I'm also involved in is the Nepalese American Chamber of Commerce. Mm-hmm. It is a business organization. It's also a nonprofit where all Nepali business owners get together and exchange ideas, failures, successes, and all those, and also try to help newcomers, new business owners, or someone who's really has an idea of doing business or maybe has money but then don't have an idea, or, you know, to guide them through proper tracks so that they can also be a successful entrepreneur in our community.
I love it. And how can people find out more about that chamber?
So if you just Google up Nepalese American Chamber of Commerce, we have a website. We have NepaleseAmericanChamberofCommerce.com. We have a small physical office, but then most of the time we get calls and emails and messages from Facebook and from Google.
Right. Well, cool. Sudeep Adhikari, with Stockyards Liquor and Wine, I want to thank you so much for sitting down with me and sharing some of your story.
Thank you so much, Chris. It was nice having me on your program.
Hey, once again, I want to thank Sudeep for sitting down with me, sharing some of his story, sharing some of his fascinating background. I also want to thank you folks for tuning in and giving me what I consider the most precious gift you can, your attention. Please do us a favor, share this show out with your friends. Just help us get the word out. Until next time, I'm Chris Daly, reminding you to keep it real.
To learn more about how Chris can help your company get more customers, call 713-269-4620 or visit us on the web at freshmediaworks.com.